Our lesson this morning is titled Escape the Snares of the Devil, and obviously you saw in our passage lesson text this morning. I'd like for us to focus on a few things that are highlighted here. When you think of escape, there's all kinds of TV shows on nowadays. Escape from prison, breakout, movies been made, you know. When I was younger, they come out with the deal Scared Straight, where they took kids in that thought they were something and took them in and showed them that it wasn't a good place to be. Those of us that might have been incarcerated in our lives know that it's not the place to be. Okay? But as we consider that, being ensnared, being entangled, not being free, that's exactly what people are when they are entangled, when they are ensnared of Satan. They aren't free. And guess what? He wants every one of us to be ensnared. So our lesson this morning is how to escape the snare of the devil and the snare of the things that tempt us from following him instead of following Jesus. But the neat thing about the beginning of this passage is the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, I don't know about you, but it's good to be known. It's good to have somebody greet you, be kind to you. You know, a lot of people are scared to go into a strange place, meet new people. When Lucas and I pull into a race pits that we've never been or we're traveling with a series and we pull into people we don't know, I always say, hey, neighbor, how's it going? You know? Some people pull in and they just, you know, don't want to. And we spend 4 or 5 hours next to these people with their families and see people come and go. It's, you know? To know who your neighbor is. Well, sometimes we feel like God doesn't know who we are. God's not a part of our lives, and he doesn't care about us, or he doesn't pay attention to us. But God is so great, folks, that he cares about each and every one of us, each and every day and minute of our lives. And that's hard for us to understand. Because you know what? As much as I love my children and my wife, I don't care about them each and every day of my life. I'm focused on some other stuff. I don't have time for him sometimes. You know? God's not like that. He's not constrained to what we are. His thoughts and his ways are far above our ways. He has the power and the ability to care and tend to each and every one of us, each and every minute of our lives. The Lord knows whose are his, okay? And he focuses on them. We've seen through looking at his holy word that he focuses on those people and cares about those people each and every day of their lives. God is not too busy for us. Which in turn should enable us to name the name of Christ and depart from iniquity and make sure that we're not too busy for God for doing the right thing. Why? So we may escape the snare of the devil. Because those people that don't depart from iniquity never escape the snare of the devil. There's vessels for honors, sanctified and useful for the master. You know, it's unique where it says right here. Right here. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter and flee youthful lusts. There's action parts, action items on our part, folks, to escape from the snares of the devil. Some people, I just can't get away from that. I just can't change. I just can't do this. And you know what that is? You're saying, I don't believe that the Lord knows what you're going through, and I'm not going to depart from iniquity. You're just inviting Satan into your life when you make excuses. Excuses for not trying to depart from iniquity. Do you get up in the morning and pray to be a vessel for honor, to be sanctified and be useful for the master? It'd be a good prayer for me. That's a good thing for me to add my prayers in the morning. How can I be a servant of the Most High God? You know what? And I do that. Let's just say that, for example, that's fine. And I flee youthful lusts, and I'm pursuing righteousness, faith, love, peace. Opening my heart and being pure, asking the Father of all that are saved to guide us. Able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. But you know what? How many of us have, we call it stress now, you know? Good book calls it strife. Generate strife. What does the Bible say generates strife? Foolish and ignorant disputes. How many times you ever argue with somebody about where you're going to eat? What you're going to eat? You're putting too much salt on that. We live in a world of telling people what to do and then not wanting to be told what to do. But in the kingdom of heaven, folks, we've got to be able to accept what God wants us to do. We're used to growing up as kids. No, no, no. I don't want to do that. You know, the word in the Banks household is to make good choices. So I ask Easton, you making good choices today? No. He says no. He can only remember the two bad choices he made when we ate dinner. I don't know when it was, last week. He could only remember the two bad choices he made. He couldn't remember all the good choices he made. And so we named about 10 of the good choices he made. And that's the same way with us in following Jesus. All we can do is think about the iniquity in our life and the things that are wrong with us. That's Satan ensnaring us, not enabling us to be children of the Most High God, hindering us from joy and peace and love, and being able to do these things and to let people can know the truth. To be able to teach, to be patient, to be in humility. Folks, I'm learning more and more as I walk with Jesus to pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. And you know what? Being able to do those things in construction management, which is what I do for a living, along with a little bit of preaching. Folks, Jesus' precepts and promises, God's holy word, has enabled me to be successful, I think, in my career. I would be much less successful, I guarantee, if I hadn't followed simple teachings of Jesus on how to deal with people. Be angry and sin not. Be apt to teach. Self-control. I don't know about you guys, but the things the Bible tells us to work on, I got to work on all the time. How many of us had somebody make them angry this week? Just me? I'm the only one? You guys are living the light. You're living the dream, because I'm not. Okay, as the people say. Folks, when we recognize we're struggling with something, reach out to Jesus and ask for help. Pray about it. Remember what His Word says to direct us to do those things. So we may be able to teach, we may be patient. See, here's the neat thing about God's holy word. Escape the snares of the devil. I can teach all kinds of people all kinds of things. I know the good book pretty good for an old spud-eating swamp Yankee raised in Michigan, okay? But if I don't do it with patience, and if I don't do it in humility, okay, correcting those who are in opposition, if I'm not able to reason with people from a pure heart, from humbleness, because I love them, not because I want to be right. That's a snare of the devil. You got enough knowledge and wisdom that you're going to tell people what they need to do. That's not what Jesus is about. It's about loving them and helping them make it to heaven so that they keep their faith, not to win an argument.
not to win an argument, not to be right.
Righteousness is not winning the argument. Righteousness is following Jesus. So that they may come to their senses, so that they may know the truth and come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Folks, we're here this morning because we've escaped the snare of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
But Satan's got a net for each and every one of us. He's got a snare, and he is trying to tempt us. And we'll continue to do so. As we continue on with our lesson this morning, we go back to the Old Testament. David wrote this psalm, Psalm 119. The rest of our passages this morning are going to talk about snares a little bit, what the Bible says about a snare. I could have had a picture of a snare and how that is with the noose and that type of snare. I don't know if there's a different type of snare, but here's a snare, there's a snare. Everywhere is a snare. That's because Satan is trying to tempt us. It is written, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Relieve me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end." How many
good choices did David make in this passage of scripture that we've got from Psalms? Look at them all.
His word, a light to his path. He's sworn and confirmed he's going to keep the judgments. Okay, bad times, he's afflicted very much. He prays when he's afflicted. "Relieve me according to your word. I'm relying on you and the things you've promised me, God." This is 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, David's writing these things. Same thing we experience in our lives today. We need to rely on God. I accept, I pray, I talk to you, God. Teach me the right thing to do. Teach me to follow Jesus. Obviously, David is calling Lord, Lord. Okay? Teach me the right things to do. Because we noticed in our passage this morning, our lesson text, we've got to decide and have action things. It's not automatic. We've got to decide to forsake iniquity. We've got to turn from unrighteousness. But it also says the wicked have laid a snare for me. Folks, there's people that don't want you to make it to heaven. Numero uno is Satan. Okay? He doesn't want you to succeed. He would love to see you fall into temptation of lust or secret sin or not rely on your faith or be mean and hateful and say things that Jesus wouldn't have us to say. Hold resentment in our heart. Not to forgive our neighbor. Not to forgive people we come in contact with. I think of Brother Joe, you know, the wicked had laid a snare for me. Joe would love to go coach a basketball game, and every single parent said, "Go coach, go coach. Every decision you make is the right decision." But probably about half of them were saying, "Go coach," and the other half said, "I wouldn't have decided that. I wouldn't have played that team. I wouldn't have called that." Second guessing them. The wicked have laid a snare for me. Well, I'll tell you what. We need to make sure we don't become those type of people on the sidelines. Because Jesus is there coaching our lives and helping us. "I don't want to do that, Jesus. I'm not going to do that, Jesus. I'm going to pick and choose what I want to do, Jesus." How can we perform on his team? If we're sitting there on the bench, we never get off the bench, and we want to argue with him all the time about what he's asking us to do. And David says, "I need a lamp I need to rely on you. I recognize things aren't always perfect, but I will, till the very end, work on my heart and keep my faith. And for us, I think that's a great lesson from this passage. You never knew Psalms 19 is about basketball, right? See? It's not. We look at 1 Timothy and a passage that talks about snares. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This sounds a lot like our lesson text, doesn't it? Flee these things. When's the last time, Brother Tom, you ran from something? It's been a long time, hasn't it? You know what I'm saying? And even in some cultures, if you're in Middle Eastern cultures, if you're over 25 or 30, it's kind of a disgrace to run. It's like you haven't planned ahead and you haven't done something right. I listened to a preacher that preaches out of Atlanta in a different church mentioned that. He grew up in Egypt and he went back there and he had the habit of running. And he started running, and one of the guys said, "Hey, man, you're not supposed to be doing that. That's not culturally correct for you to be running." But I mention those things to say, flee. When's the last time you... Bob, when's the last time you ran a couple miles? Huh? You know what? The last time I ran a mile or something, when Hannah was in high school track and I was dogging her about how much she needs to work on stuff and couldn't do it. So she said, "I can outrun you, Dad." She was right. She was right. I was way out of shape. I huffed and puffed and I ran a mile and back. I guess it was 2 miles. She just ran all over the place. I said, "Yeah, you're not competing against me. You're competing against kids your own age that got the lungs and the capacity and the training." And we need to be able to flee Satan. We're not competing against each other, folks. It's a spiritual warfare. It's not if I do better than Ed. It's if I keep my faith and follow Jesus. The world wants us to compete. Satan wants us. That's a snare. I'm a little bit better than that person. I showed up one more time. Or I served in this way. Or I do this or I do that. Folks, that's a snare of the devil. We're not in competition. We're in a family together to help each other make it to eternity from this life. Flee these things and pursue righteousness. We need to be running. I don't care how old we are, Tom, and how out of shape. We need to be fleeing things and we need to be pursuing things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life. Don't forget your faith. Don't forget how important it is, how precious it is. That's the neat thing about partaking the Lord's Supper. I don't know about you, but I love the fact that we partake the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Because I need to be reminded of how precious Jesus is and His blood is and what it's done for me. Amen? It's great to know that. It's uplifting. It helps us stay away from the snares of the devil. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Just before that it says, and having food and clothing, contentment is great gain. With these we shall be content.
Folks, if you're not content today, there's a snare that you need to recognize. That's the Word of God. Ask Him to help you to flee from it and to pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and gentleness. That we may lay a hold of eternal life. Proverbs 13:14 says, "The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death." The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. Folks, you don't want to die. You don't want to go to hell. You want to live forever. Here's the fountain of life. Here's what helps us. Here's what helps us. It would be great, folks, if all of us got $10,000 deposited in our bank every week and we didn't have to do nothing. That money tree in the backyard plucked itself, counted itself, and deposited into our bank accounts. We all got 10 grand a week. There's millions of dollars, billions of dollars right here in this book, in your life. What are you putting in your bank? Your spiritual bank. We come here on Sunday morning, maybe one of the things we should do is check our spiritual bank. Remind ourselves how precious it is and not to be in the snares of death, folks. Those people that never open their Bible, I had an opportunity in the last week or so. Somebody says, "Yeah, I pray every day. I used to be faithful. I got a divorce. I got remarried. I went back to where I used to worship. And it's just not comfortable with my ex-wife there. So I just pray and stuff, and I haven't found a place I like to go," and on and on and on. And I said, "We're in construction, and here's the example I use for him. I've used it before, but I'll say it again." I said, "How many times do you look at the drawings to know what your scope of work is?" He's a subcontractor, okay, so he's got a specific subcontract. Scope of work. So I go in and out of the job trailer a couple times a day, or if I've got them out here on a job, I look at them multiple times a day. I said, "Okay, I'm going to take all those drawings away, and you're going to have to do all your scope of work with no drawings." He's like, "Why would you do that?" I said, "That's what it's like when you don't go to worship service and when you don't open God's Word. You can cry out and pray to Him all you want, but if you're not following the blueprint, if you're not doing what He asks, you're not going to have success for eternal life. You are not in the faith, folks. You can't be not opening the blueprints and not building your life right with God." How many of us would like to have a house built and the builder never looks at the blueprints? He just says, "This is what I did on the last." I deal with this all the time. "That's what I did on the last job. This is what I think he really means. I don't like the way it's written by the engineer. I'm going to do it this way." Folks, we struggle with that with God's Word and His blueprint. "I don't want to do it this way. That's not the way Mom and Dad did it. That's not the other congregation didn't do it this way. I don't feel like doing it that way. I don't like the way it's drawn and engineered." Folks, we should never question Jesus and His perfectness of His blueprint for our lives. It's a snare of the devil. Snare of death to be able to question Jesus every time He asks us to do something. Now, there's nothing wrong with pleading to God and wanting understanding and knowledge. But to argue with God all the time? Folks,
We got a lot better things to do. That is not the spirit of meekness and humbleness and holiness that Jesus showed that is our example. Proverbs 14:27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death." I would be very fearful if I tried to build a building and help a team build a building without any blueprints. Those of you that even tried to do anything with blueprints, I know Adam can relate a little bit. But you know, his trade, that's just like, I'll use that as an example. Electricians, they look at the E-pages. That's E's for electric, if you guys don't know how drawings are. Some people just want to look at the New Testament. Some people just want to look at the Gospels. Some people only want to look at the Old Testament. Some people just want to read Psalms. What happens if we build the most beautiful house in the world and it looks good and the storm comes through and wipes it out? Because we miss details in the drawings. That's exactly what Satan does with his snares. He wants us not to look at the details. You're okay. Keep going. Don't waste the time looking at the blueprint. We would be angry, upset, and would not want to pay a builder if he built us a house without any blueprints. My question to us folks is, how does God feel when we never look at the blueprints? And we wonder why we fall in the snares of the devil. We wonder why we struggle with some things in our lives. We still are. Satan wants us to rely on ourselves. One of his biggest snares. We can make it on our own with a little bit of God. But that's not what God has for us. God says, come to me, open your heart. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Proverbs 18:7 says, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a snare of his soul. That's too convicting to me. I'm not preaching on that. I'm going to the next topic. God's holy word just steps on our toes without me having to open my mouth. But folks, you got to, you know, we got to buy into Jesus and God's word and let it work in our lives. That's the power in our lives. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Isn't that something? We're talking about Satan and staying away from his snares. And this passage says, guess what? You make your own snares with who you hang out with. Then the older we get, it's easier because, you know, all our friends are dying and old and decrepit and, you know. But we try to tell, I'm just jesting a little, but that's the truth. That happens in life, folks. I go to more funerals than weddings in my life. And that wasn't so 10, 15 years ago. It's part of life. But who do you hang out with? We don't want our kids hanging out with bad people, right? Huh? Do you know anybody, let's just use this as an example. Do you know anybody that just decided in one day, I think I'm going to try heroin? And I'm going to go down and I'm going to go into CVS and see and not, if you do heroin, if somebody walks in there, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? What if somebody asks you, hey, you got any heroin? I never tried it before, I'm going to try it. That sounds ludicrous, right? Where do people get that? Friends, bad companions, people that you set your own snare because you decided to hang out with somebody that's doing drugs, somebody that's running around on their spouse. Sin. Somebody involved in sin. And you decided to hang out with them. You set your own snare, according to God's holy word. We need to be careful we don't do that, folks. We set our own snares sometimes. Don't blame that person that's doing. That person that's running around on their spouse or doing drugs or whatever sinful act they're doing. Okay, you have a choice to participate or not. We are free moral agents. It is not a disease. God did not make you incapable of resisting sin. The world cons us in thinking we can't control ourselves. It's a disease. The Bible says it's sin, and you can say yes or you can say no. Because your eternity depends on it. My eternity depends on it. Our last passage, I believe, is the way I've got things organized this morning, come from Jesus. Luke chapter 21. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and you know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happen, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, with drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Who was Jesus speaking to when he talked about this stuff? Was he in the jail? Unfaithful people? He was talking to the Jews. These are God's people. These are people that known who God is all along. These are descendants of Abraham. And Jesus says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. He's not talking to people hanging out in the bars. He's talking about people that are in his kingdom, in God. These were God's people. Folks, we got brothers and sisters in Christ that aren't here today because the snare of carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life have pulled them out of a saving faith. We just need to be careful it doesn't happen to us. We got to be so careful. Watch out for the snares of the devil in our lives. Back to our original passage this morning. The Lord knows whose are his. Depart from iniquity. Be a vessel of honor in your life this week. Hey, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. They generate strife. A lot of times we create our own stress, folks. Because we're not following Jesus. Be able to teach and be patient and be humble. Make sure you're helping other people find out about the truth that they may be able to escape the snare of the devil. Nothing worse than have somebody taken captive by Satan. Be strong in the might of the Lord this week as we go about serving him in his kingdom. If anything in this morning's lesson has touched your heart, we offer invitation to either become a Christian, have your sins washed away by being baptized into Christ, or we offer the opportunity to make your heart right with God wherever you are, however you plead, as we stand and sing the selected song.